You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And the Chicago Sky have torn up the Eastern Conference at this point. We're sitting here with this team with a 4.5-game lead over second-place Atlanta. They're on a real hot streak, having won 7 of the last 8, and they're playing inspired basketball. And one of the leaders of this team is a veteran who has seen it all and been a part of championships galore, and I'm pleased to welcome Swin Cash back to Dishin' and Swishin'. Swin, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Now, Swin, you know, this may have some extra little bonus pleasures for you, because, you know, you've been a part of championship teams, but it's got to be pretty cool to have this team make the playoffs for the first time this year.
Yeah, it's been very special this season. It's obviously a goal that we had coming into the season. And for me, you know, if I look back early on in my career in Detroit, when I first came into the league, I mean, it was dismal. I mean, as far as the tradition, the culture, and you know, we went from worst to first in 1 year, one season, and I remember that feeling of just how, you know, elated we were. And I get the same feeling with a lot of the women and the organization, the people around Chicago now. They're really happy to have this breakthrough, the playoffs, but, you know, we're not done yet.
No, that's definitely true. There's certainly a lot of basketball to be played, and, you know, you've got 6 games left. 2 of them are with second-place Atlanta, but, you know, it's hard not to look ahead at that last game of the regular season at Minnesota, which could determine home court advantage for the playoffs.
Yeah, but you don't want to look too far ahead. We have a lot of basketball, like you said, to be played against some teams that are competing. I mean, playoff spots, positioning, everything is up in the air right now. So we don't think that one game is going to be easy here down the stretch. And so, you know, if it comes down to that final game in Minnesota, that'll be sweet. But we have a lot of work that we need to do beforehand.
You know, this has been a season that really is going to be remembered on a lot of teams' histories as being full of injuries. And yet the Sky, you know, you've lost, you know, the rookie Deladon for a few games. You've lost Prince for a few games. You know, in general, you guys have stayed fairly healthy, but most importantly, you've overcome those injuries that you have had.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some injuries, concussions. Hill was missing for a little bit. And I think a big piece that people aren't talking about was Carolyn Schwartz. I mean, she came into the season looking really good in training camp. I thought this was going to be a really breakout year for her, especially coming behind Sylvia and giving us some solid minutes. So when we lost her, we lost one of our big posts. It really changed the dynamic of how we had to play. So I think for us, other players have been able to fill a certain void and really try to help fill on the backboard, because we have had to play smaller basketball at times. So thankfully, we haven't had, you know, past Carolyn being gone, we haven't had any season ending injuries. And, you know, we just got to keep moving forward.
Well, you know, let's talk for a second about Elena Deladon. And, you know, you've played with tremendous posts. You've played with some of the best all-around players in the history of basketball, with, you know, Lauren and Sue, and, of course, you know, everybody in the history of that you played with at UConn, and then, of course, to the Shock team. Where do you see, for a player this young, what do you see in Deladon that seems to be different than the others?
You know, it's not something that's different. It's just she has that thing that you just can't put a value on. She has a God-given ability. I mean, she, in her size and her body, she's 6'5". She has a wingspan, can get you at 7 feet. You know, her ability to get to the basket, to shoot from the outside, she's just that versatile. And she, you know, she can be one of the best to have played this game, but I'm not going to put her in a category with other players, because I respect other players, you know, too much, and because of what they've accomplished. You know, Elena has some work to do ahead of her, but there's 2 things about Elena that I love, is that she's hungry and she's humble. And those are 2 things that, you know, being an amazing talent and a great player, that can take you a long way. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you asked me in a few years to come back on here and, you know, we're talking about Elena, how she's just, you know, now after the elite status of just being one of the great, and in that conversation with some of those other players.
Well, and there's no question that the combination of her and also, of course, Epiphany Prince and the improvement in Courtney Vandersloot and everybody else has also brought Big Sil up to another level this year, too. And she is playing also as an MVP candidate. She's just been such a dominant presence inside.
Yeah, I mean, it still reminds me of that commercial back in the day with Kevin Garnett, and he used to talk about 2010 and 5, and I look at Sil, and I'm like, 2020? I mean, that's what I'm looking at every night. She has that ability to come out and just control the paint on both ends of the floor, dominant scoring, and then clean up the backboard. I mean, she's unbelievable at times. And I think because the other players, we've gotten better as a team, not only our starting five, but our bench as well, it's taken some of the pressure off of her and teams. They have to pick their poison. And so that's why I think we've been able to have such a great run so far, is that everyone's really played their role and been able to do it to the best of their ability.
Now, you've been a leader on teams, you know, through your entire career, but this seems like it's a little bit of a different dynamic. They seem to really look at you. You know, please excuse if this is in any way offensive, but you are the veteran leader on this team now.
Oh, yeah. See, babe, I thought you were going to say old. We don't go with the word old. We say season. I'm a season.
Exactly.
No, you know, it's definitely a different role. It took a lot of me just really before the season praying on it, really staying humble and understanding what my role had to be this year. And as it started developing, as the season went along and players started looking at me, obviously you can give somebody the title of captain. But a captain isn't just having a title. It's how you're able to help players around you get better, being that glue that can bring people together. And when you need to step out there and, you know, do a lot more, having that ability to do that. And so this has been a very interesting year for me. I've been in this role before, but usually I had somebody else right there beside me. And as I look around now, it's like everybody's like under 30. So I got a couple of years on players, but you know, they all respect me, and I respect them. I respect their opinions, and they just want to win. I mean, when you're young, you're hungry, you want to win, you're going to buy into it. And everybody on the team is really buying into, you know, the Pokey system and buying into coaching staff, and we just keep trying to get better and better each game, each practice.
You know, and there's no question that, you know, you are a big part of their success. You know, the minutes are down a couple. She's getting you a little bit of rest, but the field goal percentage is up. The free throw percentage is up. You know, the rebounds and assists per 40 are up. You know, the turnovers are down. The fouls are up, but we won't mention that one. You know, you're clearly making a difference on both ends of the court. So there's no doubt that, you know, you're as important to this team's success as anyone else.
Well, thank you. You know, I think people sometimes, you know, overall it's like, well, you know, you're not scoring as much as you have in the past, and it's like looking at the negative. But people who understand basketball understand the value of what I need to do and what I need to bring. So if I need to, there's a night when somebody's off and I need to score more, I need to be more aggressive, you know, the coach talks to me. I know when those moments are. But in the big scheme of things, when you have as many weapons as we've had on our team this year offensively, people that can score, it's making sure that we are consistently doing all the little things. Because I know come September, come October, we get there, all those little things are going to be just as important. So I try to keep them top of mind that it's just not about the game, you know, the points and things of that sort. It's really about the overall game. And if we keep playing a complete game, I think Chicago will put ourselves in a good position.
Yes, well, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is, you know, as a person gets a little more seasoned, they tend to be a little, in some cases, become complacent or laid back. And this last 12 months, I've been so impressed with the way that you have come out of your comfort zone some, between, you know, the role you played going back to London, then, you know, coming out with the book that detailed so much personal information that you hadn't shared before, taking on this role, doing the ESPN body issue, I know it was something different for you. You know, and still putting in the time and effort that you have with your charitable organization, Cash for Kids, just really talks about the type of person that you've become.
Yeah, you know, it's been an amazing few years for me. I've had to really just mature in my personal life, the things that I've gone through. taking more of a control in my business life, and not only in basketball, but things off the court and what I want my future to be. And so it feels good to feel like, you know, I am a woman that is coming into her own, and I feel at the right time. And for me, you know, whether I continue on with basketball, I'm always going to have a passion to do other things, and I wanted people to see a side of me, because sometimes in the media, you know, you can write a story and it's about sports, but I have so many people that, whether it's parents or, you know, kids, that may look up to me, and I understand that with visibility comes responsibility, and so I take that very seriously. So I just wanted to share a little bit more of myself. Not so much the ESPN the body, but it was fun to do it. It was fun to just, you know, really put that out there. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the rest of this season with the Sky, and then this fall with, you know, other, you know, opportunities as far as media and television. And just, you know, I say leaning into life, leaning into everything that I do, since that's the new thing. I'm leaning into what my future holds for me.
Well, I'm going to give you the chance right now to accept Diana's challenge for the next.
So if you want to tell them again, Diana's challenge, it's unbelievable.
So Diana at the All-Star game, of course, when asked about Swin looking so good in the ESPN body issue, said that, you know, she's ready to throw down and go full frontal with Swin.
She would hands down win that challenge, so I'm going to leave that to Diana. But, you know, if she ever wants to go side view, I mean, we can always figure that one out. I think I've gotten that pose down the side view. So.
Well,
but it was a really good time. I love Diana, and, you know, excited to see them here in Chicago in a few weeks.
Well, Swin, I want to thank you for everything and taking the time to be here. Now, you know, Swin, I've known Swin going back to the Springfield Spirit days. And I still have a signed Swin Cash Springfield Spirit bobblehead doll sitting around.
Nice.
So, Swin, the only thing I need to get from you at some point is the good restaurants in Pittsburgh when I go to visit my daughter out there now. So,
yes, I'll definitely have to make sure I get that to you. But I really appreciate it. And definitely all of your listeners, make sure that they're, you know, following me on Twitter at Swin Cash. They can go to SwinCash.com and learn more about, like, my charitable organization and also about my book, Humble Journey. And just continue to go to WNBA.com and follow you, because this playoff this year is going to be really, really interesting.
It's going to be a great postseason, and it's exciting to see the Chicago Sky a part of it. And thanks again, Swin. I really appreciate you taking time tonight.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Hey, it's Naomi McKay, your favorite nerd on the West Coast, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. David Siegel welcoming you back to Dishin' and Swishin' this week. We're talking about the WNBA Eastern Conference, and you just heard from Swin Cash, whose Chicago Sky is basically runaway and hid from the rest of the East at this point with a 4.5-game lead over the Atlanta Dream. We are recording this on Wednesday afternoon, so I will give that as a little preface, because Atlanta and Washington are playing tonight, and that will not be reflected in this discussion that I'm having with my next guest. I'm pleased to welcome back to the show the voice of New York Liberty color commentary and an outstanding point guard in her own right, Roz Golden-Mudi. Roz, how are you today?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm good, thanks.
Roz, you know, Atlanta has been struggling, but at 4.5, possibly 4 or 5 games out of first place, and 3 games ahead of Washington, I think we can say pretty confidently that they're locked in at the number 2 spot. So now let's focus our attention on those last 2 spots, and that's where I wanted to talk to you about. You know, the Washington Mystics, Indiana Fever, and New York Liberty are fighting tooth and nail down the home stretch for these final spots. And, you know, New York is obviously, well, let's start there, since that's obviously where you've seen the most action. The
inconsistency has really been somewhat puzzling to me. And, you know, they came in, they played very, very well against Connecticut. Then they played, you know, a disastrous game against Minnesota. You know, a team with a lot of veterans, you know, has this been a really disappointing year, do you think, for, you know, to even be fighting for a playoff spot for this team?
I think it's been a tough year for the Liberty. I think, you know, starting off, you lose Essence Carson with the injury to her knee, the ACL injury. You lose her in what was looking like a breakout season for her. You now lose the second leading scorer. Actually, before she went out, she was leading the team with high teens in points, the second leading rebounder on the team, a great defender. You lose athleticism, and also just a really good leader by example for the team. So I think that was the first blow for the Liberty, especially early in the season when there were a lot of new faces and a new head coach in Bill Laimbeer, and a lot of growing pains that you would expect with any new system being implemented. So to have her fall out, and then to have Cheryl Ford not pan out, you might say she never played, but it still affects what the team was preparing for. And also younger players, less experienced players being thrust into roles that perhaps they hadn't been practicing towards or had the experience. But again, that's an opportunity opening for them. And then, you know, there's been a lot of changing looks in and out. Bill's been trying to find who could work with this one kind of roster spot that's open. He has three rookies on the team. A lot of teams don't have so many rookies that one starts, another Kelsey Bone. Kamiko Williams is starting. Kelsey Bone has started but comes off the bench and contributes a lot. And then Tony Young, who's actually the number 7 draft pick, is still trying to mature. So you've got rookies that still need more development, but, you know, the Liberty need them now. And right now, the Liberty are really being hurt right now towards the end of the season as they're trying to make this playoff push with Cappy Pondexter nursing a bruised heel. And that heel is pretty seriously hurt. You can see in her last two games that she's played in, her numbers are down. If you watch, she's not as explosive. She's kind of wincing on that leg, on that foot, and she's actually missed a game. So they're in a tough position, especially with Cappy hurt. And then they've got some players. You talked about the Jekyll and Hyde look of the Liberty. Well, some days they've got players stepping up, a team look for the Liberty, and then there's some days where it just looks like it's Cappy Pondexter and Clint Pearson out there.
And, you know, you deal with the veterans, some of the age that goes with there, that goes with some of that, you know, game on, game off. You never can quite tell with some of them. And clearly the injury bug has been huge in not only New York, but also, you know, affecting Indiana the way that it has.
Why I almost feel bad to even bring up, oh, well, you know, the Liberty were struggling with injuries. Who wasn't struggling with injuries this year, you know? It was a really battered season for the league on a whole.
No, but you're absolutely right, but it does have to be brought up, and it is part of the equation because, you know, the Liberty, as they head down the stretch now, are facing the nagging Cappy injury and things like that. Indiana, on the other hand, what's been unusual there is they've been getting back players and they've been getting healthier, yet they're in a little bit of a slump too now. And, you know, actually, ironically, going into tonight's game between Atlanta and Washington, Atlanta, Washington, Indiana, and New York have all lost 6 of their last 10 games. So you know, the thing is, Indiana has been playing, you know, again, they missed Zellis for a few games, so that affects him. But, you know, they haven't been playing consistent ball either.
Well, I think that Indiana has done a good job and probably was hit the worst with all the injury bugs. I mean, at one point in the season, they had really lost their starting 5 from the championship team, minus Tamika Catchings, and Catchings even missed games. You know, so what I saw early, they had the most injuries off the bat. I mean, they started the season with 3 to 4 people out, you know, expecting to have them back later. So what happened is early on, I think role players have the chance to develop early and move in and be told, this is your role, this is who you will be, and embrace it. A player like Karima Christmas really got an opportunity to shine this season. You know, January, when she slows down, has had a really nice season. You know, and then Jeanette Poland later will come back with her knee feeling better, you know. Erin Phillips starts to come back and be in and out of that lineup. You know, Arlena Larkins had a similar situation last season where the injury bug hit, and that was her opportunity to become a primetime player in the league. So, I mean, Indiana, I think, had the most injuries over the course of the season. Well, now Connecticut, too, is really looking bad, but they're still in the hunt. And I think a big kudos, a tip of your hat, has to go to what Tamika Catchings has done for this team. And also, you know, what Lynn Dunn has done in developing younger players to not only be ready for, it's not a next year thing, but to have them be ready by the end of the season, you know, to contribute.
And then, of course, there's the Washington Mystics, who is currently sitting in third place ahead of both New York and Indiana. And that's in a whole story unto itself. Now, they have stayed relatively healthy, but they've also brought in, you know, not only the coaching staff changes, but the player changes. And, you know, they've had a culture change.
I think it's just exciting that here we are talking about the Mystics in third in the conference. This is a team that had 5 and 6 wins the past 2 years. I mean, kudos to Mike Tebow. I mean, are we not impressed? Now this is a team that's not only saying, hey, you know, we should get double-digit wins. They made the jump to say, hey, we're making playoffs, and not only that, we're going to fight for a third place spot. You know, Ivy Lotta has blossomed under Tebow. Crystal Langhorne has been a staple in Washington. I mean, she's been there through a ton of change, and it's nice to see that positive energy is coming around hard work for her. You know, Curry is healthy. Ajavon has become a very nice guard in this league, especially since having the chance to develop while players like Elena Beard, when she was in Washington, was out hurt, or when Monique Curry was out hurt. Now you're seeing Ajavon as a veteran in this league and being able to bring the ball up, being able to create her own shot, being able to create for others. They all rebound very hard. They rebound, the offensive rebound hard. Kia Vaughn is a great rebounder. You know, Michelle Snow is long, can affect shots, and you've got a bunch of young players on that team, a bunch of rookies, who can come in and give you some hustle play. You know, I think Tebow explained that he didn't expect this to be a cakewalk, and much like the Liberty, I think Washington sometimes has a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde in them. They'd have a string of a couple of good games together, and they regress a little bit, too. I think coming out of the All-Star break, Washington regressed early. But right now, their fate is in their hands. Everyone's waiting on them to mess up and lose, you know. It should be a battle between Indiana and New York. You know, this Friday's matchup between Indiana and New York is going to be monumental on, really, for New York as far as, can they fight, gut this thing out? You know, but the Washington Mystics, it's in their hands. They can take care of their business. They don't got to worry about who's winning and losing, you know?
And the Mystics have 6 games left, and Atlanta, Chicago are 2 of those games. And then the rest, they have 2 with Connecticut, 1 with New York, and 1 with Indiana. But as you mentioned, Indiana, with those 2 games against New York, yeah, really, really, those battles are going to be so important to solving this whole riddle, New York and Indiana going at it. Now, New York also has to play Tulsa on the road for a one-day trip, basically, which is really unfortunate at this time of the year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when Phoenix comes in, what type of Phoenix team they'll see, because they seem to be sort of turning things around too. So the Liberty certainly has a difficult schedule that will strongly impact the outcome of this.
Yeah, and even with the Liberty playing at home, I'd say certainly towards the end of the season, playing at home has not been an indicator for the Liberty of success or even a home court advantage. In the past couple of games, you'd even say they've managed to scrap together wins more on the road than in the Prudential Center. And, you know, keep in mind, the Prudential Center is in Jersey. The Liberty have to stay in a hotel just to play there. So, I mean, this is their last season there before coming back to Madison Square Garden next season. But certainly psychologically, perhaps it takes away a bit from that feeling of home court advantage. You know, I think Tulsa will be a tougher game than even though the Liberty did manage to pull out a win early in the season. It was early in the season. It was an overtime victory. Tulsa, you know, has really come alive as of late. especially behind the play of Cam Bayes. So, you know, that's a tough one. And, I think an interesting predicament the Liberty are in, you know, right now Cappy Pondexter isn't even practicing. This is a new injury separate from her Achilles. She's got a bruised heel. So, you know, the best thing you can do with that is stay off it. So she's not even practicing. You know, she'll show up for games and play, and you can see that she's hampered. So at what point, you know, this is also for Bill Laimbeer as a GM, you know, do you, depending on what happens Friday against Indiana, you know, as you look around the league and you look at your playoff chances, is a question, is something running through Bill's mind, do I have to rest Cappy? You know, should I sit her down at this point? You know, what's beneficial for us and our franchise?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a difficult situation. And, it's, you know, it's funny that you mentioned it because the next thing I was going to bring up was the fact that, you know, home court is so important. You know, you look at the teams at the top of the conference, and, yeah, Chicago and Atlanta are 11-2 at home. And New York has just been unable to capitalize on what should be a home court advantage by, you know, you would hope. But as you mentioned, it's not. I mean, and I mean that in all senses. They don't get to sleep in their own beds. They don't get, you know, the benefit of being the New York team that they are. This New Jersey thing has not helped them one bit. And I would expect that, you know, next year when the Garden is the home court again, it will make a difference. Even if there were no roster change at all.
Oh, yeah. The players, it would bring such energy to the players to come to the Garden. It's just an iconic place to be. It certainly is home, you know. And then the fans, you know, Liberty attendance has been down from, you know, back in the day when they were at the Garden. And Liberty used to sell out the Garden. So I think it'll bring more, put more butts in seats. I think it'll have a different type of energy. So certainly there'll be more of a buzz when you come to play the Liberty at the Garden. You know, and again, that's not to say that the Liberty, that the Prudential Center in Newark has been awful. I think they've been very hospitable. I think the Liberty are very thankful for them embracing the New York Liberty. But, you know, the transformation of the Garden is done, and I think everybody will be happy to take that next step and return back to the Garden.
Well, Roz, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk to us about that battle for those final two spots in the Eastern Conference playoff race. It will certainly go down to the wire between the Mystics, Fever, and Liberty. And as you mentioned, there, as we could tell here, there's so many factors just in this last little part of the season. That's what to me makes part of this, makes all of this fun. Is you never know from game to game and day to day what the new dynamic is going to be.
For sure. And I would definitely point out the importance of Kara Braxton. If the Liberty are really going to make a run at this playoff berth, the fourth place run, Cappy's injured, but even if she was healthy, she couldn't do it alone. When the Liberty came out hard in the second half of the season after the All-Star break, it was a renaissance in the interior, in the paint. Kara Braxton was giving you double-digit points and rebounds. That momentum has definitely slowed. We haven't seen Kara Braxton play like that the past couple of games. Toinette Pearson, though, has brought it every single game, or brought the energy and the effort. But they need more from Braxton. They need more balance. And the Liberty play well when their posts are playing well. Bone, too, similar story to Braxton. So they need Braxton, Bone to step up here. And a couple of points from the perimeter. If Katie Smith can muster up 8 points, if Alex Montgomery can give you a few here and there, along with her rebounds and defense, you got a Liberty squad that, as a team, can sneak their way into the playoffs.
It'll be fun to watch, that's for sure. Raz, good luck calling the games the rest of the way. We enjoy hearing you. And don't forget, everybody can find you on Twitter. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, Raz?
Sure. At Rosgo21, ROSGO21.
And Roz even answers questions during the games, folks. So, you know, make sure you tweet her during the game so that she knows that you're involved.
Roz, awesome. We love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.